All right. We're going to do tonight, whatever time we have, is first we're going to discuss some of the sheet room, just the measurements and show the measurements a little bit. And then we'll discuss some of the rules of the walls. Okay, what are the requirements of the walls? How many? How big? How wide? What are the rules for that? Again, we won't have to get into all the detailed cases, even though there are some interesting ones. But we'll do whatever we can. So let's start with the measurements here. You see, my computer's going to have a whole a whole series of measurements here. We know that this, some of the measurements we've seen already are the height of the walls has to be 10 tefachim. We know that. We know the schach pasul. If you have a section over the schach, the regular area of the schach, if you have a section of schach pasul, either a branch or some metal board or something like that, 4 tefachim of schach pasul is going to end up being posel that area. I mean, that section underneath is going to be posel and might ruin the rest of the sukkah as well, depending on a number of factors that we talked about last time. Airspace, if you have 3 tefachim of airspace, that's posel. So, and certainly if it goes the length of the sukkah we mentioned last time, that might be problematic if it goes the whole length. But even just 3x3 tefachim of airspace is posel. Lavud, if you have parts of your wall, so we discussed that, I think, already a little bit. If you have parts of your wall which are within 3 tefachim of each other, we'll discuss that a little bit more later. So that also, lavud is with 3 tefachim. There are a number of shiurim here, and the question is, how do you measure a tefach, and what are the contemporary measurements of a tefach? So the first thing you do is basically tefach is essentially like this. Okay. However, there's two. I know why he didn't come till now, because his wife was at the same place that I was. we just started about a minute ago. Don't worry. Oh, thank you so much. I don't know if we're actually going to need it right now, but we'll see. Hopefully we'll get to some of the stuff tonight. we're probably not going to be doing so much Gemara tonight. There's two types of tefach. Okay, two types of tefach are the tefach, a wider tefach and a smaller tefach. Tefach shochek and tefach atzev. The tefach shochek is the wider one. Basically, when you make a tefach like this, so it's one that has a little bit of space in between your fingers. So it's hard for me to do. Basically, like this. Okay, so this is going to be a little bit. It's like a tefach plus, a little bit wider than a tefach. Tefach atzev is when you curl like this, when you clench, okay, from atzev, atzuv, sad, you're upset, clench like that. So that's a little bit less. It's unclear which one we use on a regular basis. Many poskim hold that it depends on whichever one is the chumrah. I mean, whichever one is the more machmir one, that's what we use for that particular thing. So for Hilchos Sukkah in general, and by the way, if you want to look, if you want to look in the Gemara, it's on Daf Zayin. They actually mentioned the Tefach Shachik. It's actually mentioned there on Daf Zayin. I don't know if we'll have to get to anything else tonight if we do all of that.
It's the first time I'm hearing this.
I see. Yeah, you can take a look there on Daf Zayin.
That's a super size me Tefach.
Say again?
That's a super size me Tefach.
Super size?
Super size. You know when you go to Berkey and they give you the super size?
Oh, I see. Yes. Daf it's not, bottom. Yeah. It's on the, I think it's on the bottom if I remember correctly. I have to look there. Anyway, so for Hilchos Sukkah, we generally use the one which is more machmir, which means the following. If we're talking about a shear that the shear is the minimum shear, for example, the tefachim have to be, the height of the walls has to be 10 tefachim high. So for that 10 tefachim, that's the minimum shear, we want to make sure that we're not, taking any chances. That tefach that we use is going to be the tefach shachik. It's going to be the bigger tefach, right, which will be tefach plus. For the minimum sizes, okay, meaning... We just started 3 minutes ago, don't worry.
Yeah, no.
You know, because your wife just came home, because I read it, so I just came here. So. For the tefach atzev, let's say for the minimum size, for example, if we're talking about how much empty airspace can you have and still have that section of your schach be kosher, so there we talk about 3 tefachim. Okay, if there's more than 3 tefachim of empty airspace in your schach, then that's going to be a problem. So for those tefachim, for the maximum, meaning the maximum that you can have is 3 tefachim, and no more than that, for that we're machmir in the other direction. Okay, for tefach atzev, it's the smaller tefach. Okay, tefach atzev, yeah.
Now what's the amount in
we're back. We'll get there. Don't worry. Now I'm just giving you the concepts, and then we'll do the amounts in just a second. Okay.
The tefach we use for length.
It's machlok is what we normally use. It's not clear. It's not that much of a difference, by the way. It's a very, very small difference.
What you're doing when you're not making it tight, right. You're making the width a little, but you're also adding to the length by like a little.
That's the point. Okay. Yeah. Right. So it's about, they say it's about half of a finger. It's about half of an etzba, okay, like from here
half
to here. That's approximately the measurement that's used. The question is in centimeters, we'll discuss, you'll see in a minute. Okay. In terms of the actual sizes now, okay, how big is a tefach? How big is, let's say, how big is a tefach? So here we have a major machlokas haposkim. This is a very famous machlokas, which you're probably familiar with, between the Rav Chaim Noah, who wrote the Sefer Shiurim Shel Torah, and the Chazon Ish. Okay, the original, what was always accepted in general in Europe in most places, was Rav Chaim Noah's Shiurim. Okay, the Chazon Ish came along later, and in his Sefer, so he's more, take it as you want, either he's more machmer or more makel, depending on the situation. But it was funny, one of these pamphlets they put out every Shabbos, you find in America, in the shul. So one of these shut celulari, you know, they have on the bottom this popular thing where they ask Rav Aviner and Rav Shmuel Eliyahu, they ask some questions on SMS. Have you guys seen this? You must have seen it, yeah. No? You ever seen it?
It's in like three different
levels. Yeah, they have a whole bunch of them. So they have all these... It's only in the Hebrew ones. So they have all these different interesting questions. All these like profound questions which should take like 10 pages to answer, and they answer it in like three words, you know? Like, Eino Ra'ui, or, you know, Usser, or whatever. Like, you know, what do you think about women learning Gemara? I don't see a source for it, and that's it. Like, you know, it's whatever. It's very, very interesting. So they had one question, a very interesting question. Somebody asked, I forgot which one it was, Rav Eliyahu, I think. Or maybe it was Rav Aviner. They asked them, how is it possible that Rav Chaim Noah could have been cholik on the Chazon Ish? Okay, how is it possible Rav Chaim Noah could have had the chutzpah? He didn't say it that way, but in my mind, I'm reading into it like this guy is so upset. How did he have the chutzpah to go against the Chazon Ish? What do you think? Who do you think he was? Rav Chaim Noah. He's a big Talmud Chacham, but he's not the Chazon Ish. So, of course, you know, whoever it was, Rav Aviner, answered him the absolutely correct answer. And the answer is, you got it all wrong, Buster. You're backwards. The Rav Chaim Noah came first. And his shiurim... His shiurim, the standard of Rav Chaim Noah's shiurim, were always the ones that were followed in general in Europe. That was the minhag ha'olam until the Chazon Ish came along and, you know, upped them a little bit. So, you know, even though Rav Chaim Noah wrote it down a little bit later, but that was always the shiurim that were followed. The Chazon Ish turned everything around. So that has to be the issue here. L'maisa today, we sort of accept both shiurim. Meaning today, because it's already been a while, the Chazon Ish has been around, and we do accept a lot of the things. What we generally do today is... Most people would say one of two things. Most people either follow Rav Chaim Noah's shiurim. The other option is that we depend on the chumrah. I mean, for things, certainly things that are doraisa, we try to be machmir for whichever shita is the more stringent opinion. And we'll see through all these examples, we'll see exactly what I mean. There are some people in B'nai Brak, maybe some others, that follow the Chazon Ish only, but not usually. I mean, they'll follow the Chazon Ish l'chumrah, they won't usually follow the Chazon Ish l'kula.
The Chazon Ish, where did he get his shiurim from?
He has a whole in the Sefer. Look at Or HaChaim and
somewhere.
But he
got it from somebody. He had to get it from someone else.
The question is, how do you figure out the measurements of the Tefach and the Amma and the Etzba and this and that? And he did his measurements and he came up with it.
Was he Mechadesh shiurim? Like after 2,000 years, did he also come back and say...
He wasn't Mechadesh what the shiurim were. He was Mechadesh how to translate that into contemporary terms. Understand? I mean, the way he works out the measurements are such... Well, I'll show you, okay? Basically, in the measurement of a tefach. So Rav Chaim Noah says a tefach is approximately 8 centimeters, okay? 8 centimeters is... I forgot how many inches it is. How many inches is 8 centimeters?
Do you have it on there? Or
not? Maybe it is. Let's find out. This is Yitz's Torah tape measure here. There's two sides. This is found in Brooklyn. I wish we had this here. You have one side is Rav Chaim Noah's measurements. The other side is the Chazon Ish. So Rav Chaim Noah's measurements. Here, one tefach. Here. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's the button right there. Okay, one tefach is up till here. Okay, right over here is one tefach. So one tefach looks like it's one tefach is about 3.2 inches approximately. Okay, I'll give you the inches measurements and all the other things. I did work it out, but for this I forgot. But that's what he says. Yeah, about 3.2 inches. Okay, from here, from the beginning, whoops, from here until here. So that's 8 centimeters according to Rav Chaim Noah. Okay, this is 8 centimeters, but this is made in America, so they don't have centimeters in this one, apparently.
Look on the back. The other side doesn't have centimeters.
Unless this is, no, it's not centimeters. I don't see here. I see etzbos and I see inches. I don't see centimeters.
Okay. So for example, when you're building a wall,
centimeters is my tape measure has centimeters on it. Do you have yours here, or you don't know where it is?
It's upstairs. Yeah.
You know where it is? It'll be faster. Yeah. Okay. So I guess we get another one. Also, you see in centimeters. So the Chazon Ish has has 8 centimeters. The Chazon Ish is 9.62. Okay. The Chazon Ish holds that one tefach is 9.62 centimeters. Which on here would be, on the other side, look at the Chazon Ish side, is here. Okay, 3.6 inches approximately. Okay, so the first one is approximately 3.2 inches. This is about 3.6 inches. Okay, this is the Chazon Ish measurement of Tefach from here till here. Okay, and Noah's from here until here. Okay. So that's the measurement here. And again, in terms of centimeters, it's 8 centimeters to 9.62 centimeters. So now let's figure out how big is Tentvachim. Okay, Yitz and I measured this last night for his sukkah. when we say that the walls have to be a minimum height of 10 tefachim, what does that mean? So, I'll wait for Eric's measurement, but we can already do it from here. Okay, according to Rav Chaim Noah, essentially we have it like this. You want to hold the bottom part? Okay, pull it down to the ground. I'm going to pull it up here. Okay?
8 centimeters, you're right, it's 3.2.
Excellent, that's perfect. Okay, 3.2 and 3.6. Okay,
and what's 3.6 is
Sorry.
The other shita?
Yeah, that's the Chazon Ish.
That's about 3.6 is just under 9.
Right. Interesting.
8.3 and 3/4 maybe. Mm-hmm. 8 and 3/4.
Okay. So now, according to Rav Chaim Noah, the 10 tefachim is, so he's got two things here. He's got 31.5 inches for Rav Chaim Noah's 10 tefachim here. Okay, now the Shir Mechitza, he has a little bit higher here. It's about this high. From here, this is 10 tefachim. Hold on for a second. Okay, it's not that high. Okay, 10 tefachim is here, according to the Rav Chaim Noah. It's right around here. That's 10 tefachim according to Rav Chaim Noah. Mm-hmm. Let's turn it around. Okay, so you can keep doing it. Hold down. According to the Chazon Ish holds 10 tefachim is 98.2 centimeters. Okay, which is 38 inches. That's here. Okay, 38.6 inches. 38 is about here. Okay, so for the Chazon Ish, this is 10 tefachim, right? Approximately here from the ground. Because this is for a sukkah. Sukkah is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and the mount of the walls are d'oraisa. So we usually say, I shouldn't say we, many people usually say that for 10 tefachim for sukkah, we should be machmir like the Chazon Ish. For 10 tefachim, the Chazon Ish is the bigger measurement. So therefore, we should be machmir for the Chazon Ish, which basically will end up being 98.2 centimeters, which is 38.7 inches. Okay, that's the measurements for 10 tefachim. Rav Chaim has a little bit less, he's at 80 centimeters, etc., etc. Just to give you the difference between the tefach shalchek and the tefach atzev, so it's about a two centimeter difference. Okay, tefach shalchek would be 98.2 centimeters approximately, and the regular tefach atzev would be 96.2 centimeters. That's the way that they work it out. Okay, so it's not that much of a difference, a little bit of a difference. That's the story there. Okay, so we got that. So if you're doing your measurements,
two
that's
centimeters is a nice amount, isn't it?
Okay, right. It's a small. It's
what do you say? Like this? It's like this amount.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, approximately. Approximately. Wow. Okay, so that's what we usually follow the Chazon Ish. In terms of three tefachim, okay, the cases of airspace and for lavud, okay, so you thought I were measuring last night, but let's say you have, the bars. We'll talk about this more later tonight or next week if we don't get to it tonight. Mm-hmm. Next week's our last week before Sukkot, so we have to figure out what we're going to do next week. You have the bars, let's say.
The wall, though, has to start a certain to the ground.
So let's try that. That's a basic thing. Same thing. Okay?
You would use
So in terms of lavud,
eight.
Right,
You want it to be the more machmir, so you use the lower one.
Correct.
Like you should have it
eight
centimeters from the ground.
Exactly.
That's the lowest.
Okay, so let me just translate that, just make sure everybody got what you said. Two examples of lavud, okay, that we use lavud. Either, let's say if your wall doesn't sit, let's say your wall is hanging and it doesn't start directly
right
from
the ground.
Your wall starts a little bit above the ground. Okay. This could be true in the case where you have some of the bod types of sukkah and for everything that's not held down on the bottom. I mean, it has to be held down somehow, but it's not all the way down to the ground, let's say. Or let's say if you're using, you have the, what's it called? You have like a railing, and you have the poles that are in between, and each pole is like here. So is that considered to be a valid wall? So the answer is very possibly it is. You have to make sure that it's love in between one pole and the next, that the distance between the poles can't be bigger than 3 tefachim. So in those two cases that I just gave you, on the ground, if it doesn't reach all the way to the ground, or the poles, how much is 3 tefachim? So the measurements are as follows. Okay, according to Rav Chaim Noah, the Chumrah measurements, which in this case is the smaller Tevach Atzev, is 23.4 centimeters, which is 9.21 inches. Okay, if you want to measure it on here, I don't know what you got on there, but this would be right here. Okay, 23.4 or 9.21 inches. Here he ups the shiurim.
9.3.
He ups all the shiurim. I don't know why he ups all the shiurim so much, but whatever it is, we'll take what he says for now. From here to here is about 3 tefachim. Okay, from here until here is approximately 3 tefachim. That's Rav Chaim Noah. That's Rav Chaim Noah's measurement here. The Chazon Ish holds it's more. The Chazon Ish holds is about 29 centimeters for 3 tefachim, about 11.3 inches. So that's going to be a little more than that. So again, but here though the chumrah is to take
the smaller measurements.
Okay.
Right. So from the ground,
from here we're machmir like Rav Chaim Noah. Okay. So the minimum for 3 tefachim is going to be 23.4 centimeters or 9.2 inches.
So your wall would have to start
from here, or obviously lower, but it can't be higher than here from the ground.
Right. I'll give another example also where it's relevant, could be relevant, in terms of the shaking sukkahs. We didn't talk about this yet, but we know that there's a big discussion about the shaking sukkahs, that they flap in the wind or whatever. So you have all these things that go around, you know.
So that's considered the walls, the things that are going around.
That's the point.
So that has to be within what I just showed you.
They have to be within three tefachim of each other. Very good. The other way to do it, though, is what I did. My thing didn't work last year, and I tried that. I just couldn't get it to be taut, like the ropes around to be taut. It didn't really work so well. So basically what I tried to do is measure my bod and see how far back and forth did my bod flap in the wind. So there also, I measured, I sort of pushed back and I pushed it this way and I watched the wind and I saw, well, did it flap, according to the more machmir opinions, did it flap three tefachim from the main spot is here, did it flap this way three tefachim, or that way three tefachim? So we measured 23.4 centimeters and I saw that it was well within that measurement in terms of flapping. So therefore, even according to the more machmir opinion, it should be fine. It should be fine.
The three tefachim on the schach, the schach has to be the three tefachim of the wall.
Well, without an airspace. Meaning, if there's an airspace between the wall and the schach, then there can't be more than three tefachim of empty airspace between the wall and the schach.
But can you get what I'm just wondering is, can you really get up to six tefachim? Because if you have three, you have three on both sides. Let's say you put the schach in the middle.
That's fine.
That's fine.
You can use lovin at both ends. That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. In terms of four tefachim, so we said four tefachim is schach pasul. Okay, if you have a section of schach which is covered over by something which is either metal or your roof or your tree or whatever it is. So four tefachim, according to Rav Chaim Noah here, also is the chumrah. That's going to be 31.2 centimeters or 12.28 inches. Okay, so you can measure that. That's going to be about four tefachim is about to here. So we have.
If your schach is four centimeters covered,
mine's a little more.
Say it again. So we learned about, I don't know if you were here, we learned about this. It doesn't necessarily possible the whole sukkah, but it possibles if it's a section of four tefachim by four tefachim that's covered, the schach is covered over with some sort of schach possible, then that would invalidate that section of the sukkah.
That section is the
correct. Sukkah. Correct. Correct. Now, if you have a section which is four tefachim wide and the length goes the length of the whole sukkah, then it might invalidate the rest of the sukkah as well. That we discussed last week. It's a little tricky, but again, most cases, that's the example we gave last time. Was okay, whatever it is, that's four tefachim. In terms of dofen akuma, so what about the dofen akuma? If you remember the whole story of dofen akuma, so dofen akuma was the idea that if you have your schach in the middle,
and the wall is not attached,
and
the wall's not attached, but in theory, if it would be curved, then it would sort of.
Right.
So
that space is how much? So that's 4 amos. Okay. If you remember, one of the examples we gave of this is like you have a skylight inside your house. Okay. So you have a skylight inside the house here.
But the wall starts over here.
But the wall of the sukkah is the side of the house.
So the skylight was in.
So how much space can you have of the ceiling that there's ceiling from the wall to the schach and the sukkah still be kosher? So we say that's dofen akuma. You have 4 amos. Okay. How much is 4 amos? So 4 amos. According to Rav Chaim Noah, which again is going to be the more machmer opinion here, because we're talking about the maximum shear, Rav Chaim Noah says it's 1.87 meters. Okay, 1.87 meters, which is 6.14 feet. All right, that's the lechumer measurement there. And as long as you have some sort of rooftop from the wall up to the schach that's no bigger than that measurement, then you're okay. That's pretty big. Okay, 6 feet is pretty big, right? How?
6 feet is.
So you can measure. You have a nice amount of space, right?
It's a lot.
Yeah, you have a nice amount of space.
So that's fine. Wow.
I mean, it's not a lot though. If it's a skylight thing.
That's correct. If it's a skylight, it's not so much. It's not so much.
It's 6 feet, you said?
Yeah. 6.14 feet.
6 feet's two big steps.
That's a nice amount.
It's a decent amount. You have a nice amount of space.
It gives if you're planning a house around it, it's not it's doable.
Right. I said in England, what I would say is a lot of them have their sukkahs in their kitchen.
Right.
Yeah, they told the Lenka told us, right, because it rains all the time, so they have to be able to use the sukkah.
I mean, there was definitely why they shouldn't have it, but they want to rain the house.
Now it has to be within this amount of all four walls. Like, let's say, if I were to build one here, if I were to shave one here, right? So, look, 6 feet is like right. It has to start there, or it has to start there, right? So basically, if the skylight opened like right by where I have this table here, it would be good from this wall.
Right.
Now it has to be good from this wall and from that wall too.
Basically, you need to have three walls in order for the sukkah to be kosher.
Okay.
So for three walls, you need to make sure that those three walls are within. I guess how much money is that going to cost? I have no idea. But So that's in terms of
with the car, with the sunroof, that would be for sure. How would that work with the wall? The wall, the doors, the on both sides. That's no problem.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
And the front, so it's not a problem, right?
Right, probably not. You said the problem was being close to the ground.
Low enough.
Yeah.
To
so
no,
so,
but we discovered. We said that the ground is.
So that's
car.
Fine. The problem is really the walls. Are the walls? I mean, how are the walls? If the walls are all curved like this, how
they're up and then they curve.
Yeah. So I guess if the bottom part is tantochim without before they curve, if they curve like this, that's a question whether that's a real wall or not. Might be not healthily a wall according to
so
many.
The
because
two sides
it's
are for sure are okay, but the problem
yeah,
is the front
so that's the
and
question.
The back.
So again, I didn't have a chance to. I was supposed to look into it. I forgot, so I didn't have a chance to investigate it.
That's,
but that would be that would be a question.
Not
there.
Too many people have sunroofs here.
Yeah, not so many.
No. In Chutzlitz, that's like a big thing.
Yeah,
going on a
yeah.
Holomoy trip, you know.
Right.
What
do people do? That?
I don't think so. I think
Michal Levy is going to be the first one.
He was talking about it.
Yes.
Oh gosh. Yeah, I'm not sure. You have to figure out whether the walls of the car, if they're very angled, that might not halachically qualify as walls. In terms of the measurement of seven tefachim, what's the minimum?
You pull into a garage, that you know. What? You pull it right.
Okay. In terms of seven tefachim, so the minimum length and width of the sukkah is seven tefachim. How much is that? So here we're machmir like the Chazon Ish, because you need the larger measurement. So here the measurement of seven tefachim, according to the Chazon Ish, is 68.74 centimeters, or 27.1 inches. How big is that? So on this thing here, this is now we're looking at the Chazon Ish. Rochav Dofen Sukkah. Yeah, here we go. He's got
27.1
from here till here. This is basically if you have three walls that are this size, that's a kosher sukkah. Okay, where you see that? 1, 2, and 3. That's
this
small,
is what right? Again? What is this?
Seven tefachim, the minimum size of a sukkah. Length
minimum size.
And that's smaller than the height of the walls.
Yeah, the height of the wall still has to be 10 tefachim high.
Okay, and this is 7 tefachim.
This is the width and the length.
This
okay.
is width and length.
Right.
What four
yeah.
sides this?
Yeah.
Small.
It's pretty small, right? Yeah, so you can make a sukkah in very small areas. In theory, you can make a makeshift
sukkah.
That's a car.
This is proving that you can do it in a car.
In terms of the
in terms
size.
Of the size.
In terms of the size. Yeah,
car,
the size.
Right?
The size would be fine. No question. In terms of a height issue, we said that this, a sukkah, if it's 20 amos higher than the ground, then it's possible. So there we look at the Rav Chaim Noah, it's 9.36 meters. Okay, 30.7, how high is that?
It's high.
Anybody know?
Three
I'm
stories.
Not sure. Three stories, right.
Yeah.
So you got a sukkah which is three stories high from the ground and still be kosher. More than that is going to be possible at the ground.
Yeah. But what about the minimum height?
The minimum height is 10 tefachim. That's what we said before. Okay. Right, so we measure
it's
about like until here.
It's not, so you
yeah.
can, you can't stay, so you, can, you don't have to stand in it, just sitting in it.
Right, that's what it seems to be.
Sitting
correct.
In like a
correct.
Little at the way
that's correct.
Yeah.
That's what it seems to be.
Almost like how David
yeah.
Melech used to sit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When he used to make his
yeah,
to him little.
Okay, good. Let's go to the next step. What are the requirements of the walls? So we generally say that the walls can be made out of anything. Right. Usually, most posts can hold that there's no requirement of what the walls can be made out of. There are some. There's one minority opinion that says maybe they have to be made out of the same things that are kosher for schach only, but we don't usually pass in that way. We discussed the issue of mamid, so that will be a question here also. Meaning, if your walls are made out of metal and then you put your schach directly on top, but that's an lechachila for Ashkenazim, that's a problem that you should try to avoid. That you're putting there. That's a mamid question. But other than that, there's not really any impediments according to most posts about
to
what you made
the wall.
Hedges describes it. You'd have to figure out.
It can't be.
Probably not. I mean, you can have a tree be, put it this way, there's no problem with making a tree part of your wall, but you have to make sure that the measurements are...
A lot of people have a yard surrounded by hedges. If it was the right size, you could...
In theory, if it was the right size, it should work, and the Shulchan Aruch says...
I thought you can't have open plants to the walls or
something. Sachi can't have it for
the
walls.
They couldn't have it for walls either.
So, look here. So Shulchan Aruch says it's in Tavar Islam. If you had ha'osas yukasa bein ha'ilanos, if you make your sukkah between the trees, you ha'ilanos tefanos la, and the trees are walls for the sukkah, that's fine. However, there's only just one condition. Right? As long as the trees are strong enough, or you tie them such that a regular wind will not blow it all over the place. And you fill up the airspace in between them with stuff, or they're close enough together they don't need to be filled up. It's kosher. Okay? That's the halacha. But again, you have to make sure that they're not going to blow all over back and forth, you know, strongly like that. And you got to make sure that there's not you know, they're close enough together that there's no problem of spaces in between them. That it's actually over a real wall. Yeah, that's the story in terms of that. In terms of how many walls, so how many walls does a sukkah need to be? So this, believe it or not, is a bit complicated. We're not going to be able to go into all the details here, but just in terms of the basics.
I had asked you about
Yeah. Okay, so I'll try to give some of the basics, and then the details are, I don't think we're going to have time for.
What siman is this in?
So this is in Tafer Shlamet, if you don't have. It's actually in the Gemara also, if you wanted to look. It's on the Gemara in Davavamaviz. Yeah, there's a braisa there where the Gemara says, well, we all know already, that the sukkah has to be, at least according to what we pass, it's got to be three walls, and the third wall can be even a tefach. Okay, I think it's in the braisa there. Somewhere it's also quoted in the Shulchan Aruch in Tav Reish Lamed, Si'iv Beis. Right. So you have two full walls, and the third one is even just a tefach, that's good enough. Okay, that's what Halach Moshe Messinai says. Correct. So Rishon disagrees. He disagrees, but we don't. Right. We don't pass like him though. So we pass in that you have two full walls and you have a section of tefach of a third wall. That's good enough. However, later in the Gemara and in the Shulchan Aruch, we pass in that it's not simply good enough to just have a tefach. Okay, what's a tefach? A tefach is not very big. Okay, when you have two full walls and you have a tefach for the third one, tefach is this. Okay, or maybe the Chazon Ish will be this. Okay, it's not very big. Right. What the Shulchan Aruch passes based on Rava later in the Gemara is that you also have to have a Tzuras HaPesach, okay, right next to the
as part of the side of the tefach.
It's complicated. So there's a few parts here. Okay, what the Gemara seems to conclude, based on at least the way that we understand the conclusion based on Rava, is that you can't just have the tefach next to the wall. Okay, you need to have the third side be seven tefachim. Okay, seven tefachim, as we said before, is the minimum amount of a wall. Seven tefachim is again for Chazon Ish. Is going to be about this, okay? From here to here is your wall. So what the Gemara says basically, what you have to do is find a way to make your tefach wall into seven tefach. And how in the world do you do that? So the Gemara has a very creative solution. Okay, it says take your tefach wall or your tefach beam or whatever it is, place it within three tefachim of the first two walls. Okay, so you have wall here, wall here. So take your tefach. Put it within three tefachim of the wall here. How does that work? That works because now it's within three tefachim, so now we have lavud. Okay, so now that's treated as if it's next to this wall. So you have this wall here, start over here, and then it goes one tefach over here. Now it's as if it was four tefachim, even though it's only one tefach, but it's within three, so that's four tefachim. And then what you do for the last three tefachim is make a tzuras haPesach. Okay, make a, you know, a beam going this way and a beam going on top and a beam going like that for the last three tefachim, and then presto, you have a wall which is seven tefachim long. That's good enough, but that's a little complicated to do. Okay, I mean it's not so simple.
So how much is seven tefachim? I want to check my wall. Maybe.
Seven tefachim. So that's this, right? Okay, we can look here. Is this a measurement? Or is this just an illustration?
There's no measurements.
Yeah. Okay. No, we have here. Very, very good. This is it, though. Did you do this? You wrote all this stuff? Oh, great. So I can't actually read your handwriting, but this case here. Okay. This is the case. If you can all see, two walls, and you have your Tzuras HaPesach here on the third side. There's a little thing here, and then this thing here. However, this is not the one we pass in, like, because we pass in that it's got to be within three tefachim here. But this is not good enough by itself. The one we want is this one here. Okay. So you have your two walls. You have less than three tefachim here that Kevin put over here. I think that says three. What does it say? Three something tefachim from less than something. Okay, this is less than three tefachim from here. There's your one tefach wall beam or whatever, and here's your Tzuras HaPesach, your pole over here, and your top pole here for the last three tefachim, and now you have a kosher sukkah. Now, here's the question. All right, what happens if you do this, or even if you have a regular wall, which is seven tefachim, but your sukkah is like this? I don't know if it's in here. But basically, because it's not in the Gemara, so it's probably not in here. But basically you have, let's say you have like this, right? One wall here, so you have two perpendicular walls to each other, like a resh. And then your third wall is going to be over here. Okay, third wall is seven tefachim over here. Okay, seven tefachim over here, from here, let's say, till here. So that's fine. The problem is that this wall goes all the way over here. It's connected. I mean, let's say either you did what we suggested before with the Tzuras HaPesach, or you had a real wall. You had sort of like your sukkah, which maybe we'll take a field trip there. Probably not this week, but maybe next week. So you have one wall, two walls, and the third wall over here is seven tefachim. But the problem is that it's not as long as this wall. Okay, so you have one, two, and three.
So what's the problem?
So the question is the rest of this section of the sukkah over here, is this kosher or not? You understand? Because here there's no wall on this side, opposite this side. So So that's a question. Oh, is there? Where? So this would be yes.
High school. When did you learn this? Yeshiva after high school?
It's good. Remember, you still remember it. Excellent. Right over here. So this would be a good example. If you have this here, and you have this, and you have well, this actually ignore this line for now. We're not going to look at that line for now. Let's say you have this, or let's say this whole thing is all a wall. Okay, even this is more common today. Just this whole thing is a wall. But this section over here, there's nothing opposite this wall. So is this whole section of the sukkah over here that kosher or not? So the halacha is, it's a machlokas poskim, but almost all the poskim agree that this is fine. Okay, and that's based on a sugya we actually saw inside a while ago on Daf Yotes of Pesal Hayotzim in a sukkah. That if you have a case, one of the explanations of that Gemara is that if you have a case like this, so then once this section extends all the way to the bottom, then even on this side, it's all kosher as well. So they say in our case also you have two walls plus the third wall, which is seven tefachim. Then even the rest of it, which doesn't extend to the bottom, opposite the other side, meaning there's nothing on this side, as long as this side goes all the way down here, the whole thing is kosher. Okay, that's generally how we hold. So what does that mean? Bottom line, what that means is that you have three walls, if you have two full walls, plus a third wall, which is seven tefachim long. Okay, that's considered to be that you halakhically have three walls.
Now, did you know for sure by eye?
I didn't measure over here.
But what's the amount again?
Just look at
seven tefachim. No, I don't have
it here. Look, again, I told you, the chumrah of the Chazon Ish is 68.74 centimeters, 27.1 inches. Okay. That's seven tefachim. So if you have a wall to seven tefachim, that's halakhically considered to be a kosher wall. All right. And it could be, by the way, the Tzuras of Pesach we were talking about, it could be that your sukkah qualifies. If you have the schach on top and the wall goes straight up to the schach, that might be good enough. But if the wall doesn't go all the way up to the schach, maybe not. That's the part that's a little bit complicated, which we're not going to have time to get into now. Just want to do one more point. Eric, run away. Check. Okay. Okay, so no. Okay. Okay, it's a good idea. Oh, they're all the same thing? Oh, I see. We don't need these two. We just need to actually make them. We're not going to use that.
There are actually sheets where you have
that's a little Vanessa, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
another way to do it. What'd
you say?
That was the
Chumra,
right?
Yeah.
Now, let's say I didn't have a Tzuras of Pesach. Do I need a Tzuras of Pesach? How do we pass it in terms of Tzuras of Pesach? I've got seven.
No, if you have seven tefachim, you don't. According to most Pesachim, you don't need.
I have a Tzuras of Pesach, but you don't need one.
You don't need it. Now, again, the Tzuras of Pesach is not clear if the sukkah qualifies as a Tzuras of Pesach or not, because it wasn't made for that purpose. It wasn't made to be an opening. It was made to be a sukkah. So that's not clear if that actually qualifies as one.
Oh.
That's a machlokas. That's a big question. We don't have time to get into it now. But if you have seven tefachim, you don't need a Tzuras of Pesach.
And let me ask you this one, wall here, which I actually can walk into the sukkah from here. Is that considered Tzuras of Pesach?
So that will halachically, hold on a second.
Can it be a wall?
If it's open, then you need to measure the part that does not get moved. Okay, if the part that doesn't get moved is seven tefachim, then that's good. It's a wall.
This part. But if it's not, then I have to leave it closed?
So here you have multiple levels. You have the bars on the outside, and then you have the level of the window on the inside.
Window,
yeah,
right.
The bars themselves might be,
but
that also might work. Okay, that was the next case I was just going to mention. That's the question of what's called shiva erev. Okay, and that's a case where you might be able to apply lava to make that kosher. Maybe. I forgot to mention before, just very very important. The Ramah passes today for Ashkenazim, and the Ramah passes halachachila. We should always try to have three walls. Okay, don't mess around with your two walls and your tefach and your Tzuras of Pesach. It's too complicated. People get confused. Three walls. Now, three full walls in this context means two full walls plus a third wall of seven tefachim. That's what he means, according to most of the poskim. All right. So, if you have two walls plus a third wall of seven tefachim, then you have fulfilled the Ramah's dictate of having three full walls. Okay. So that's important.
I can check
to
from the inside.
That's important.
It's the same walls. If I have seven tefachim over here, then there's no problem for me opening this and closing.
Correct. If you didn't, though, so then the halacha would be that if it's closed, then that qualifies.
Yeah, I did.
Then it qualifies. If it's open, if you didn't have seven tefachim, if it was open, then it wouldn't qualify.
But okay. It closes and opens, so then that would.
So the point is, when it's open, if the rest of the wall wasn't seven tefachim, in the situation where it wasn't seven tefachim and you needed that wall, okay, again, if that's the fourth wall, then we don't care. But if it's the third wall and the measurement of the wall that doesn't move is less than seven tefachim, so then you'll have a question about the part that opens and closes. When it closes, it's fine. When it's open, so then you have a question, you know, maybe it's a Tzuras of Pesach, but it wasn't made for that, so maybe not. And then you also have a question that maybe you're not allowed to open and close it on Shabbos, because you keep basically being machshir and being posel the sukkah. every minute that you open or close it. So that's a big question. That's probably not a good idea.
But I'm okay.
Now. Yeah, you're always okay.
Yeah, yeah, with the door, everything with the door, you open.
It's the same thing. No. If the door is attached on a hinge and just swings open and shut, and has a TRSF stuff around it, so then that would be fine. But if that door is the whole wall, then you're gonna have a problem.
This door is the whole wall. This is a wall.
That's yeah, but half of the door doesn't open though.
No, I have that also.
Or you won't right. open it at least.
Half, right. Only half.
Okay. I'm saying if you have a swinging door and that door is the whole second wall,
then
you have a problem. When the door is open, then you don't have a wall, right? There's a question. Maybe the stress vessel counts by a wall by itself, but it's not. No, try not to go there. Okay. Well, I guess last case for tonight. What do we not get to here? Let's see what I have here. We talked about Dofen Akum already, right? We talked about Lavud. Question of how do you make a sukkah with a fence, like with the walls or the poles, or sort of like this thing here, or string, all these kinds of things. How does that work? So again, the normal halacha is that as long as the strings or the poles are within 3 tefachim from each other, then based on lavud, then that can actually be a kosher wall. Okay,
that's
so
I did for the first year.
Right, so that should be fine. However, there is a Magen Avraham, which I mentioned to you last night, which makes this a little complicated.
Situation.
Your situation, I think, is okay anyway, based on what I told you last night. But I'll just tell you inside, and this is why we try to avoid using those, the poles by themselves without having two sides. Okay, let me read you what the Magen Avraham says based on the Mishnah Berurah. He says here, it's in Tavreish Lamed Seif Katan Zayin. So the Magen Avraham says stuff like this. He says Shemuter Lasos Tefanos HaSukkah. Okay, you're allowed to make the walls of the sukkah. Bekanim Shemamidim Pachos Pachos Mishlosha Tefachim Rachok Zemizeh. With these, what do you call them? Beams or poles or rods?
I would say bamboo mats.
Okay, it could be the same thing. Bamboo mats, or again, you have a railing. Okay, on your roof, you have a railing which you want to use as your wall. Okay, so that the Magen Avraham says is permitted to use even if they just go up. Okay, and they're within 3 tefachim of each other. That is fine. However, this is the clincher where he gets. He says, that's only if you make 4 walls based on that. Tahainu, karam kazemi arba rochos, as long as you make this situation, this setup, on 4 sides. Aval kishein rotelasos rak shalosh tefanos, but if you only want to make 3 walls like that, then you have a problem. Then, ba'in shtei mechitos shesmuchos elazeh, ushleimos vashlishes betefach. Then he says that you need to have, if you want to have 3 walls, you have to have 2 full walls. You can't have walls made up of poles. That doesn't work in that situation. And relying on lavud there, where it's not really a full wall, is not going to work according to the Magen Avraham. If you only have 2 plus, you have 2 walls plus a tefach, that's not going to work. It's only going to work if there are 4 walls. Okay, very, very interesting. This Magen Avraham is the subject of a bit of a debate. The post can discuss what he means here. Who do we agree with it? Do we not agree with it? It complicates things a lot. So you have to be careful if you use the if you use those rods. You have to be very, very careful if you do it. The things that can make it better, again, would be if you have, let's say, 3 walls of the rods and 1 wall which is part of the house, then that's going to be fine because that's 4. Then you have 4 walls. If you have the rods, sort of like your case, okay, your case, there was a very small, there wasn't really that much space in between the different bamboo mats. It was like a very tight bamboo mat. So yes, there was a little space in between, but not very, very, very.
Oh, you already put up your walls?
Yeah. So that's it. We should go look at it. In the case where most of the wall is wall, okay, meaning it's not like you have the poles and there's a lot of space in between the poles. If you add up the space in between the poles, let's say, of your roof, so you'll probably find that there's more airspace than there are poles. So luckily we hold that as kosher based on lavud, but that's the Magen Avraham's point. You can't do that for only 3 walls. Right? You have to do that only if there are 4 walls. But if you have most of the area as the poles or most of the area as the bamboo mass and there are little spaces in between, that's what we call omen ruba al parts, okay, meaning the wall part of it is greater in size than the air than the space part of it. In that case, it's probably fine. In that case, the wall is probably halachically a wall. And in that case, this chumra probably doesn't apply. You probably can get away with 3 walls in that situation. That's how I think that we usually understand it. But
bamboo mat,
yeah,
kosher
or no,
not no. Non-kosher.
No,
that's tied with
metal. Yeah.
Right. The other option there is also to do what we call shiva erev, meaning you don't have just things going down. If you put wrap things across also like this, that also would be fine. Certainly if you do the thing with the lava that you have within 3 tefachim, 1, 2, 3, like that, certainly that would be fine. Maybe even if you do less than that, but that's not so clear. So if you want to make sure about that part of it, then you could just wrap around something going
so
around the side also.
All the way down to the ground, or you started on
the ground.
All the way down.
Yeah.
Well, also, I mean, the thought is that you want to protect against cats.
Right.
All the way down to the
practical
ground,
part of it. Right. Okay, I think that's basically just, we didn't get there a lot of details here, but those are the basic principles, and that helps explain a lot of the cases that we have today, principles that should at least work with on a basic level. The other stuff we didn't get to yet, so we didn't talk about canvas sukkahs and shaking sukkahs. We mentioned it briefly, we didn't discuss it, the actual machlokas. We didn't talk about who can build the sukkah, and the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. So that, I guess, next week is our last year before sukkahs. So either, I don't know, probably nobody's around Chol HaMoed, right? And so we shouldn't have a share on Chol HaMoed, just because if everybody's here, we should do it. It's better. L'chag Torah on Adir, we could do it. In the sukkah, it'll be a lot of fun, but I don't know who's going
to
be here.
We just have to decide which night. There's always going to be...
Right. So I don't know what's happening, so probably never know. Do you know what it is?
No,
what does that mean? You're taking us on a teal, or are you taking a different teal?
No, I'm taking the shul.
Okay, so then we won't, so...
There's a shul teal? When? Which day?
I'm not sure yet.
What about Motzei Shabbos?
Okay, so let's...
There's a big concert in Shabbos. I don't know if it's...
Where is it?
Here?
Concert. Oh, it's here?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That was that big sign they came
out? Yeah, apparently.
How much money does that cost?
40 shekel.
That's it?
40 shekel.
Somebody else.
Okay, so let's talk next week about what's doing next week. We'll talk about next week. For next week, so let's do next week.
Next week's back to regular Monday night.
Yeah. As far as I know, regular Monday night next week. Next week, we'll try to finish up some of the basic stuff. I think it's just some of the rest of these halachos. And then just the other option is either to go take a little trip to Yitzhak Sukkah and look around, or do another to Moshe Sukkah or whatever, and talk about it a little bit, or we can discuss the right. Or we can help you build it. I guess it's already built. Or we can talk about the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah. What do you have to eat in the sukkah? How much do you have to eat in the sukkah? Okay, yeshiva. So that we have to figure out what we want to do next week.